saints of God. I find myself a little perplexed this morning. You know, we're such a faithful group, and we're so American. I don't know today whether our people are out celebrating Memorial Day, which is a national holiday, or we're out celebrating Trinity, and we're visiting our family and celebrating the good news of the Trinity. But I know where they're not. Oh, well. We few, we mighty few. I remember 20 years ago sitting in a restaurant out at Jacksonville Beach. Bishop Adler was there, and he began talking about we few, we mighty few. And thus was the beginning of our movement into the something called the Charismatic Episcopal Church, which I found even then very strange to find a Pentecostal crazy charismatic talking about liturgy. But anyway, as that goes, the rest is history. But I welcome y'all here today. And I find refreshing the Word of God where it says, where two or more are gathered, He is there. And I thank God that the Spirit of God is omnipresent, and He is in many places today, because in many places people are gathering in His name. And He is yet to let any of us down. You got your Bible this morning, you can turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, although we are going to be in and out of that. I want to just remind you that in the many books of the Bible, God the Father is mentioned as our Creator, our God for us. God the Son is talked of as our Savior, our God with us. And God the Holy Spirit is the action, our God for us. And John, I want to thank you for so perfectly teeing up the sermon today as God the Holy Spirit is with us, whether we realize it or not. And I think that in all of our lives, there have been time when we've gone, God, where are you? I definitely have. And He's never moved. But our mind has shifted. Every Christian, whether Catholic, Pentecostal, Evangelical, Charismatic, or whatever your pedigree is, would agree with the statement that God is with us. But we get confused in that role, as we talked last week, about the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings us into that profound personal experience with the living Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. It's such an intricate relationship, and we don't believe it's an intricate relationship, but I got to remind you that the disciples traveled with Jesus for 3 years and they understood it not. They kind of almost got it. You're the Son of the Father. They almost got it, but they didn't ignite it. They didn't even ignite it when Jesus walked through the door, the closed locked door, after His death and said, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." They didn't get it. Oh, they got excited. They got hopping happy. He who was dead is alive. But it was only the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, that they got it. Well, if Peter, who denied Christ the night before the crucifixion, if he didn't truly get it, How can we get it when we only have a historical perspective? We didn't walk with him for 3 years. We didn't hear the intonation of his voice. We didn't firsthand experience the miracles. We're only getting it 2,000 years later in writing. I mean, how can we understand? How can we get it? If it took the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost for them to get it. Guys, we got to have the Holy Spirit. But I have good news for you this morning. We got the Holy Spirit. The Baptists have it kind of almost right. They got the Holy Spirit. They don't know what to do with it. But they got the Holy Spirit. My mother and I used to go round and round. Y'all know, most of y'all knew my mother. She'd say, "We got the Holy Spirit." And I go, "Uh-huh." But you keep him in a nice little box. And you don't let him out. Jesus himself likened the work of the Holy Spirit with the effect of wind. Now, we can't see wind, but we know the effect of wind. We can't perceive the molecules of wind. They're really invisible to us. But we certainly can see the effect of wind lifting a kite. Or a strong wind after it's blown over a tree. We see its effect. We know where it's been. We don't know where it's going. In a similar way, we see the effect of the Holy Spirit in someone's life after it's happened. Or maybe even as it's happened. In the Rector's Council last Thursday night, we got to talking about Tres Arroyos, and the effect that a Tres Arroyos experience has on this church the weeks following a Tres Arroyos. And we talked about the effect that a Tres Arroyos has on this church during a Tres Arroyos. It takes a toll. There's a lot of people gone for weeks on end during training and during the Tres Arroyos, but immediately following a Tres Arroyos, there's this upsurge and the things in the Spirit in this church. So we see the effects, but we don't see the Holy Spirit. Now there are times, and I heard a new pastor this way. I've never heard of this guy. I listen to a lot of sermons, and there's this guy by the name of John Kirkpatrick in Mobile, Alabama. Never heard of him before in my life. And I stumbled into him listening to a guy out of Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Cathedral in Brooklyn, New York, and he happened to have spoken there, and I followed his website, and he's out of Mobile. And he picked up a little handkerchief. This is not a handkerchief. His was white. This is a glasses case, but it does the illustration. And he held it up. He said, "In most services," and Scott, you'll enjoy this, "in most services, the Holy Spirit will come at some point in all services." And he said, he comes in at about this size. And he's very uninterruptive. He comes in, and it's up to the pastor, or to the praise leader, or to whomever's in charge of the service at that time, to give him entrance. And if the pastor or the praise leader thinks they're more important than what the Holy Spirit wants, he'll leave. But if we're willing to step aside and say, "Come on up, have your way," the Holy Spirit will then enter the service and do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, setting the captives free. But what he was saying is that the Holy Spirit will only come when the Holy Spirit is given licensure to come. The Holy Spirit will only come in our lives when he's given licensure to come in our lives. He is not an intrusive, evasive, demanding, "I'm going to kowtow you until you listen to me" person. But he's always present. Anytime three or more gather, he comes and he looks for that opportunity and that invitation. The Holy Spirit. But here's the deal, the thing that I want to preach, and we expect today, or last week, I didn't do it last week, I thought I'd do it this week, I'm not going to do it this week. We expect everybody to preach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this time. Well, here's the deal, and God spoke this to me last night. He said, most people want their degree and the recognition of having a PhD without going through the gut work of getting the PhD. That's why there's so many ABDs out in the world, all but dissertations. People get so far in their PhDs and never do the dissertation. He said, you got to do the work. You got to lay the basics. That's why there's so much confusion with gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they don't want to understand the basics. There are people that I've met in this church and in other churches that go, well, I've never received the gifts, he said, because they don't understand the basics. So today we're going to look at three principles of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they're manifest in every one of us. But we cry out for, well, I don't have the gift of this or that or something else. But we got to be comfortable with what we do have. We got to understand that in a time of trial, in a time of trouble, that the same God that brought us into salvation is in us. It's very important that the principles, we can't go out and do complex. Father, you do calculus. You can't do calculus without understanding basic math.
Amen.
Now, I think I understand basic math. I still can't do calculus. Because when you get to algebra, you lose me when you start adding letters together. I've never understood A plus B over Z times X equals 3. I've never computed that in my mind. You got the geometry, I could understand that fine, because that was lines and angles, and I could compute that real well. But you get into algebra, I never could compute that. But anyway, here's the deal. There are some freedoms that we got to understand that we walk in as Christians. And it's the Holy Spirit that does this. 2 Corinthians, we'll begin with, let me go back to our scripture today because it's important. In 16, and we'll pick all that up later. In 16, Jesus was saying, and I'm going to go to a print version that I can read. In the scriptures today, in chapter 16 of John, it says that I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, Christ had walked with these men for 3 years. And he's saying, I got many truths to tell y'all, but you can't understand them. They're too great for you to even comprehend. Excuse me. I almost got my PhD with you, fella, and you got truths you can't even tell me? However, when the Spirit of Truth comes, or has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. So understand the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has nothing original to say. He is coming to bear truth of the Son to us. Now let's remember this. What was Jesus' main purpose on earth? To take us back to the Father. Yeah, for salvation, that's true. For eternal life, that's true. But Jesus' main purpose was to show us the Father. The Holy Spirit was to take the things that the Father had given the Son and to bear them to us. See how the Trinity works? Everything leads us back to the Father. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is coming to bear truth to you, things that have been given to me that I can't tell you. So then we get to 2 Corinthians 3:7, and it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want to look then at what these freedoms are. Three truths that we have in the Holy Spirit. One, there is a freedom when we're in the Holy Spirit. There is a freedom from confusion. How many of you have ever felt confusion in your faith? The accuser of the brethren is alive and well. But the Word of God in Corinthians says, or John says, there is a freedom from confusion. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. John 16, 7 and 9, I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt and regard to sin and righteousness in judgment. Here's what I want you to see out of this scripture this morning. The Greek word translated counselor doesn't really have an exact equivalent word in English. The Greek word is paraclete. And it really means one who comes alongside of another person to offer assistance. For instance, a Christian counselor is someone who comes along a person alongside of someone to offer spiritual assistance. Well, a paraclete is someone who comes alongside another person to offer help. The word paraclete could be translated counselor like it is in the New International Version of the Bible, a comforter, a helper, a supporter, an advocate, an ally, even a friend, according to J.I. Packard, and keep in step with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit then is our counselor or our helper, supporter, advocate, even closer to a friend. Jesus tells us that part of the Holy Spirit as a paraclete does is to convict the people of the world of their sin. The idea here is that people in the world, we live in a state of spiritual blindness. Another way of saying that, saints of God, we live in denial about how we stand before God. We have a tendency to minimize our own guilt by pointing out how bad someone else is. We make excuses for ourselves. So the Holy Spirit is our counselor, permeates our evasiveness, shatters our defenses, and silences our excuses to show us how truly we stand before God. See, when we stand before God in our final judgment, we're not going to be able to say, but God, did you see how so-and-so did it? I'm so much better. And God's going to say, did you see how my son did it? You don't measure up. And we're going to go, So it's not how someone else did it, it's how we did it. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. This is telling us that the Christian's confession of Jesus Christ is Lordship in his or her life is tied directly to God's Holy Spirit living in us. When people at their baptism take their stand and publicly confess that Jesus is Lord of their lives, the only reason they can do that is because the Holy Spirit has, Paraclete, has worked in their hearts. Our sins have made us spiritually dead, incapable of seeking God on God's terms, apart from the Holy Spirit's intervention. The first freedom is the Holy Spirit draws us into a relationship with Christ, and we are free to experience salvation. Here's the neat thing. So many of us have said, "I found God." Well, God wasn't missing. We didn't find anybody. We can't take credit for coming to faith in Christ because of our good looks or our works or our deep spiritual openness. It's something God initiated. God worked it out and helped us to cooperate with Him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom of salvation.